Yeah. So this is the file. This is the example, right? So it's a very simple code, right? So the main that I implemented two versions of Fibonacci, right? The recursive version and the iterative version.
Okay.
This is the iterative version, which is a lot quicker, right? So yeah. So the idea is to see how the stack behaves, right? Mm-hmm. But I haven't been able to get there yet because what I do is that I calculate the Fibonacci number,
mm-hmm.
I make the checkpoint, and then I print the value,
mm-hmm.
right? And if I pass another parameter, I load the checkpoint,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so the problem is that when if I store the checkpoint and load it within the same process, everything works.
Within the same process. You mean, I see. So you first
make
the checkpoint and then load it back immediately.
Exactly.
Okay.
That works.
Okay.
However, if I exit the process and create a new process and load the checkpoint, I get a segmentation fault after the long jump.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm not sure why that's happening. So currently the
are you using any heap?
No.
Any heap variable?
No.
It's all.
Yeah, okay. It's all. It's basically the stack. I have one global variable which is defined in the other code.
Uh-huh.
So to
restore the stack, what do you do?
Yeah, so that's a little tricky. So what happens is that because of all the security concerns,
mm-hmm.
now the stack is not in a fixed location. So the location of the stack varies. And it's not in the highest location either.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anywhere.
Yeah, randomized.
Yeah, it's randomized, right? So, but the thing is that the stack starts at some point and then it grows. It grows to the higher addresses.
You know, it's interesting because yesterday we were looking at some stuff here. I'll show you. Okay, so. If you look at the memory mapping information
mm-hmm.
of the different processes, I think, so for instance, the stack is at this location. Let me look at something else here.
Okay, so that's clearly not the last address, right? It's B.
It's at the sort of at the end of the.
Yeah, but it's not in a fixed location.
Yeah, so that's what I was looking at. I mean, so if you look at this versus this, so the stack is in a different location here than it is for this process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, but it seems to be beyond a certain point. Right? It's not fixed, but. It's towards the end of the address space.
Yeah, that is also different.
This is actually worse, I guess. They are all in different locations.
But all start with BF, right?
Yeah, all starts with BF.
So it's after, we can say it's after BF.
Mm-hmm. But it's in different locations, exactly. Not in the same location.
Yeah, so that's one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other point, taking that into consideration, what I do is that I see where the stack originally was
mm-hmm.
when I created that checkpoint. And I place the data in that region of the stack. However, there are some things that you have to check first.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, as the current process is accessing the same region of the stack, you have to somehow populate the stack to go beyond that point, so you can when you load the old stack, you will not override the current stack and cause execution problems. I'm not sure if I'm explaining myself.
But if you overwrite the stack and you set up the pointers, okay, then...
So this is the memory, right?
Yeah.
Let's say that the original stack was here,
mm-hmm.
and your current stack is from here to here, let's say.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're here, it's okay. Right? It's okay to load this stack because everything that you're going to do is going to go from here upwards. So there's no issue there. However, if you're here, if your current stack address is here, you have to populate the stack by making some recursive calls or allocating local variables, so you can come here. So that when you load this piece of code, you will not.
Wait a minute. So which is the loaded stack again?
Okay, which is the original stack? Okay. So let's say that this part here is the original stack.
Okay, this is the current stack.
No. The stack that's in the checkpointed process.
Okay,
right.
And that's where you need to load it back in.
Exactly.
Is that a requirement? I guess it is.
Yeah. The thing is that's where your stack. I mean, you can load it within some offset.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there is a requirement to load the stack in the same position as before, or can we change it?
Okay, So the thing is that when you use set jump and long jump, those are based on stack parameters.
Right. So they're going to save the stack registers as well. And then when you do a long jump again, you restore the stack registers, and therefore you need to, load the stack in the original location.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. So if you're here, there's no problem. You can just load this.
What do you mean when you're here? What does that mean?
So this means that the current function, let's say the last declared variable in the current function is here.
Okay.
Right. So you know that with the frame pointer or some other stuff, you'll be a little off.
What about if it's here?
If it's here,
mm-hmm.
it's also okay.
Mm. So right? it should not be overlapping.
It should not be overlapping. When it overlaps, you artificially populate the stack so you can be some outside the region.
Is that a technique that people already using? Oh.
Yeah, actually, some people for the PVM use this technique.
I see. And the problem is that if you replace the stack, you cannot return from the current function. If you override the stack, you cannot return from the current function because you return.
But that's okay. Because you're loading another process, so the stack is completely different.
Yeah, but if you override the current stack, then you lose local variables and all of that, right?
Yeah.
Which you might access and, get a sec fault because those...
No, but okay, so here's the thing. So after you load the stack, mm-hmm. what you're going to do is just do a long jump. So it's basically going to say that the long jump is going to set the PC to some other value here, probably the top of the stack, of this stack,
mm-hmm.
and some other CPU register.
Assuming that your current stack pointer is not overlapping with the loaded stack.
Assuming, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, if that is true, then I guess you're right. So... The long jump will return?
The long jump never returns to the next instruction. It returns to the set jump.
To the set jump? Okay.
Yeah, so let me show you this other code.
Okay. I think I understand. So the long jump will restore the all the stack related
mm-hmm.
registers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the stack is in the state that it was at the time of the checkpoint.
Exactly.
Now, is there some issue of atomicity between saving the stack and doing the set jump? Both of them has to be atomic, and do they have to be in a specific order?
Actually, you have to save the stack after you do the set jump.
I see. after you do the sit jump. That makes sense, because when you return from the long jump, you return at the point after the sit jump.
Mm-hmm. What happens is, okay, so here's where I call sit jump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the main checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I have some stuff here,
mm-hmm.
and let me see. So here's where I save the stack to this variable, M. This is a global variable.
Okay.
Right here, I mm-hmm. declare jump buffer M.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it returns some state.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is that I see if this value is restored, then I just loaded the checkpoint. If it's not that, if it's the other value, then I will go and save the point. So when I do the long jump, what happens is that I return here,
mm-hmm.
and set jump will return this constant,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when I do the long jump,
mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Somewhere here.
Okay.
That's what I return. Here, right? So when I do the long jump, I do the M that I loaded and the restore.
Right, but you have a variable in, but you have a local variable here, right? Shouldn't you put it up there so you don't create a new entry in the stack
I mean, it's okay. I could put it up there, but it doesn't, because this variable is empty.
The reason I'm saying is that when you save the state of the stack pointer,
mm-hmm.
you know, the
mm-hmm.
current stack pointer, it doesn't include the creation of this variable. So if the top of your stack
mm-hmm.
is one below the state of the stack when you save it, because you have a variable here in between. I don't know if that.
I mean, I could try it, but I don't think that will change anything.
So what would happen is that you restore the stack, including this variable,
mm-hmm.
but your stack pointer is one below this variable, which I guess is okay. I guess that's okay, because all you will do is when you restore the stack, you restore this variable as well,
mm-hmm.
but that variable will not be used after you return from the set job.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's fine. What about all these variables? What about all these guys?
So with these guys, this will only be declared when you're storing the stack.
Okay. See, where are you getting start of the end of stack from?
It's a parameter. The start of stack is a parameter, it's a function, and end of stack is.
Oh, you mean this is the top of the stack?
No. I mean, this is what I... Okay, so the top of the stack starts here. In the main, the first variable.
Right. But the location for this top of the stack needs to be known so that you can save the stack, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're saving from the top, bottom to the top.
Yeah.
All that memory.
Uh-huh.
So how do you get the top of the stack? You just look at the value?
When I'm loading.
When you're saving.
When I'm saving, yeah, I look at this guy. The address is so I pass it the address where that's stored, where this variable is stored.
I see. And that's a standard mechanism?
Well, I don't know what other way to know the memory of that, right? That's a...
And the reason I'm saying is because local variables appear after the arguments and the return address.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But it's still some memory address. And if you look at the memory address of that variable, it's gonna be a pointer within the stack.
Mm-hmm. So what about these variables? They also go in the stack, right? And the return for
yeah,
the main.
Yeah, I guess I could also use one of those variables. Probably this one. The first one.
Yeah, so
no, the last one. The last one starts before the first one. Yeah.
So that might be Are you passing any parameters to this program?
Yes, but I don't use it after I load.
you're not using it after you load, but
oh no, wait. Yeah, actually, I am using it here.
Yeah, that's going to be lost.
Yeah, okay,
so
that could be.
So you had to start from here, I think. Parameters of main.
I see it before. That's another. Okay, yeah, that could be it. But I can start with this parameter.
Just, I guess.
Oh, wait, no. But load doesn't return here. Load returns after. Load returns here. Because load returns. So when you do a load, the last thing that you do is a long jump.
Mm-hmm.
And long jump will return in the. When you save the check, when you did the set jump in the make checkpoint.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about the parameters to the main and where they are going.
Yeah, I'm sure they're also in this.
And form. Also, when you want to return from main, how does that?
So you do something. You do a, I think it's an exit, something or. There is one.
So all I'm saying is that maybe you can start from here to be on the safer side.
Okay.
Maybe there is something about returning from main that will get messed up. The segmentation fault is where? Where is it occurring? At which point? You know,
yes, after the long jump.
After the long jump.
Yeah. And the bad
means
thing
is it's happening in the long jump. The seg fault.
I'm not sure. I mean, some point when I call the long jump.
What is the next statement after?
A print. So okay, so the long jump will return here to this here, right?
Okay.
And it will just execute this and the thing is that so when the long jump returns as will make the set jump return checkpoint restore. So this will be true. And so I would just print this and then exit the function and go back to this point.
Yeah. So before you do the long jump, you restore the stack?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So this is the load stack. I load the address.
Mm.
And then do the long jump. So this is basically loading the stack from the file. And then doing the long jump.
Okay, so the long jump, which is going to return. So you restore the stack and the stack.
I return two things: a stack and the data area.
Right.
Because this guy is a global variable. That's the easiest way I found.
Which one?
The state of the CPU.
Which one? This environment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It returns, so long jump returns.
Yeah, and I checked the value of this guy before, and just, I mean, when after I call the set jump, and after, and just before I do the long jump, and it's the same value. So that should work.
But after the long jump, you have seg fault, right? So
yeah.
What you're saying is long jump is successful?
No. What I'm saying is that this value...
Mm-hmm. What is that value, by the way? Can you make me understand what... environment.
Environment is some CPU registers and some other information. That's defined in this file. You see the setjump.h.
Okay, that's where all these registers go.
Exactly.
Okay. And so you define this environment as static?
Yeah.
Why is this a global, why is it static?
I mean, that's just declaring it static or non-static will not have any influence on where it's stored. That's just for the compiler to know.
Okay, so let me understand this. So when you do set jump, you pass it an environment,
mm-hmm.
and the environment gets populated.
The environment gets populated, exactly. Before that, it's all zeros.
Okay. And then when you do a long jump, you had to pass the same environment?
The same environment, exactly.
But it's a different process. How do you...
Yeah, but I load this. I load the data region.
But see that when you load the data region,
mm-hmm.
it's also checkpointed, the data region?
Yeah.
Oh, the data region is checkpointed,
yeah,
along with the stack?
Yeah, I checkpoint the stack and the data.
I see. So, but the data region will also be in a randomized location, right?
No, that's fixed.
That's fixed?
Yeah. I double check that. I mean, I started doing the same procedure as in the stack, but then I realized that it's always in the same location. I mean, the start and the end, it's because that's just static,
mm-hmm.
right? So you will always have the code in some region, and then the data gets above that.
Look at the maps to see what exactly we have.
Okay, so that's code. All those libraries are code.
This is code.
Not sure what that BDSO means.
Which one?
BDSO.
Seems to be maybe some part of the kernel there. I don't know. Try to figure out. See what else we got here.
SMAP? In a sense, SMAP. Get more information.
Seem to be only libraries. Where is the code thing? The code for this process. Look at maybe some other the code thing, the code should also be memory mapped. Right, it should also be mapped to the address space somewhere. Yes, where I see. Oh, there it is. This is the code segment right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the question is the code segment the same for all executables or not? Like the start of the code segment.
For the same executable, the start will be the same.
But for different executables,
it will be different.
It would be different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just go to a different one.
Okay. So the one that we
just
had
do a tail.
Was,
yeah.
So econ D2?
Yeah.
There it is. So
It's a little different. No, it's the same.
No,
it's different.
What is it? No, it's actually, let's see, the same. It is the same. Okay, that it starts as
no,
zero,
but the
zero
n
zero
is
four.
Different.
Yeah, because the size is different, right? The size of the x is different. The starting location seems the same. Let's look at some more.
Well, that's coincidentally the same process. Well, not the same, but the same executable.
Same executable. Yeah.
17.
169. Wow. Why is it the same process? Okay, G-Conf D2 again. We stuck with the same two processes. Let's see. What's going on here? We constitute.
Just do a less of that command. I mean.
Okay, let me do a tail of
a star map. Yeah. And
okay, so
yeah, so tail also has the same one.
Yeah,
this guy
has the same. Well, bash, I think we're missing something here, but it seems like it's pretty close. Because we have bash and
yeah. Yeah, so apparently the same start.
Code segment is in the same place.
Looks
question
like.
Is about.
But it's a little weird, right?
The data segment. So which means that the question is where is the data segment?
So the data is just after the code. It's not shown there, but it's usually just after the code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Because that's static also.
Mm-hmm. How do we know where the segfault is happening? Which memory reference?
That's very, very hard. I tried with GDB, and GDB is not telling me anything because it lost all the symbols just after the long jump.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't even know where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, GDB gets... Yeah, GDB
really
stack gets overwritten, right?
Exactly. So it's a mess. I mean, yeah, it doesn't work to GDB here.
Mm-hmm. What's going on there? So you think that this will still be valid after the restore because you're restoring it in the same location?
Yeah, and actually I tried that. What I did is that I print the value
mm-hmm.
here of n, and I print it here just before the long jump.
Before the long jump?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's printing the same value.
Okay, okay.
I mean, it has the same content. No, yeah, right, so,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah.
It has the same contents.
Mm-hmm.
And you also printed the address, it's in the same address.
It's in the same address, yeah. Yeah, or else I couldn't have printed it correctly here.
Okay, so you load the data segment as well. So, okay, so you have okay, so let's go back to where we are returning from the
okay.
long jump. Really return from the long jump right here?
Right. Yeah, in the set jump. Set jump.
So did you try, do any of these get executed after the long jump? I mean, do you know where in this point?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so you might want to...
Because maybe completely myself.
Okay, but maybe you can try printing something here and see
okay.
what you get. GDB is going to be messed up because the stack is destroyed. But,
yeah.
I guess these library calls will work.
I guess so, yeah.
It should work.
It should work. Because it's just static code.
Oh, that may be also a problem because the libraries are not being restored, right? I mean, the
but the process is the same.
What?
I mean, it's the same executable. So it's the same code. That's why I don't need to replace the code region.
Yeah, but the libraries need to be dynamically linked, right? So for instance...
Yeah, they're dynamically linked. Oh.
They're dynamically linked, and in each case, I believe the same libraries will be in different locations for each process. Because that's getting randomized too.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that could be it.
So, can you print something without using library? I guess not, right? By using a system call?
Which one?
Write system call without going through a library. I mean, can I invoke a system call directly so I don't need to link?
I guess I can write something to dev or something like that.
Just let us clarify that's the case. That so for instance, let's look at the C library.
Leap C.
Where is it?
Yes.
There it is. Okay. So let me.
So grab 6-8.
This guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where it's showing up. So in self.
It's in different locations.
So this is in.
No,
this is in 34. But this is different?
Yeah.
This is different?
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, so all these security measures make it a lot more complicated to checkpoint. Well, not to checkpoint, to restore. And that's a big issue.
You can try by doing something which is not a library after the long jump.
Not a library location.
Yeah. In like directly.
Open, write something to a file and close it.
No, but that's the library call again. Because these are library wrappers, right? Open.
That's true. Yeah, those are library wrappers for a system call.
Yeah. You'll have to invoke the system call directly. I don't know how that's going to work. Or you could do the following, that you can put the process in an infinite loop, right? So you know that instead of getting a seg fault, the process
okay.
keeps looping, so you know that it actually is returned from the long jump.
Okay. And while true or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that could work.
At least you will know that.
I will know if it's returning
from the long jump or not.
That's true. So, but then how would I go and fix that problem of the library?
Assuming that's the problem.
That's something I can check, actually. I can just put it in a loop and then just run it again. Just run it again, look at the maps and see if different runs get different dynamic.
Yeah, but the thing is that you won't see the maps until you use the library.
Yeah.
The dynamically linked library. So you won't see any maps for the libc until you use the libc. Which you might, right? I mean, so for instance, yeah, you can look at it because before you store the stack, you're still using some libraries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might be using some libraries, and I'm sure you use libc or whatever library.
Yeah, libc, I'm sure I would be using it because
yeah.
I'm printing some. So.
Yeah. So you can look at the libc during the previous and libc now and see what you get.
So sprock the PID map.
Wait a minute. I mean, are we thinking what is in the right way? How is the libc stuff related to the stack in the first place? It's not.
No, but it's what you're saying basically that it's dynamically linked.
Dynamically.
So what happens is that in the code, I would just insert some pointer.
Now that I think more about this, the libraries are should not be a problem because it's not as if you're restoring the location of the library. Oh yeah, you are because it's been. The checkpointing itself. It seems like it is probably okay for the libraries to be relocated upon restore because all you're doing during the restore is restoring the stack,
mm-hmm.
which may. Now, the real question is any of the elements. Any of the stack frames in the stack that you're restoring corresponding to a library function invocation or not. If it's a library function invocation, then it would return to an address which is no longer valid.
Okay, but that could be a problem.
Yeah, but I think the stack frame that is being restored does not have any library function stack.
It could have.
It could have?
Yeah. For instance, if you're using glib, right? Glib allows you to, let's say, to define your own tree. So to define your own search in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So you're calling the library function, but that library function will call your function internally. So in that sense, there will be a library function in
so
the stack.
What do you mean glib? What exactly?
So. So glib is that GNOME library that has a whole bunch of data structures,
uh-huh.
and within that data structures you have lists, binary trees, and array trees, all sorts of data structures, right? So in the binary tree, it allows you, for instance, to define your own search within the tree,
uh-huh.
right? To say okay, because the key can be arbitrary.
You know what you can do? You can statically compile this whole thing.
Okay.
And see what you get. Because if you statically do it, then there is
probably
no dynamic linking and.
And that's not. I guess that's not a big constraint. I guess most systems.
Well, it's a security issue, right? I mean, so you're statically linking your executable.
But
for the time being, I think it's okay.
Okay.
Statically link the executable and see what you get. I mean, does it solve this issue, or do you still have the same problem?
Okay, I can.
The other thing is saving the stack from the beginning of the main. Oh, where is that go?
Yeah, here. Yeah, I think the other guy.
Those are some things you can try.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking, I mean, yeah, that could be the, probably the only thing that is different.
The libraries.
Yeah, because the code will be in the same part.
That's what it seems,
and it's already loaded, so I don't have to reload it.
The libraries are in different locations.
And the libraries looks like they're in different locations. So it's weird that it's always in the same part. I mean, then there's just some amount of libraries that you can link.
What?
Because if the code always starts in the same part, and it's after the libraries, then there's just a limit to the amount of libraries that you can...
That's huge, right? I mean, let's look at this guy, for instance. It's starting here.
How does this
work?
That's
a question of how big this is.
Yeah. So,
that's in bytes.
Oh,
that's not much.
How
much is this? How many bytes is this?
So, you have to shift it by what?
134 megabytes. Yep. 134 megabytes.
A little less. Probably 128.
Yeah. That's weird. So I cannot link too many things. What about the stack? So I think we were checking this yesterday as well. For the stack. See, that goes up to 3.2.
Yeah, that's what I usually, that it's usually 3.2 something.
Yeah. Because the 4 gigabyte address space and the lower 1 gigabyte is for the kernel. Right, it's the kernel address space, the lowest 1 gigabyte of each process. So it's only the first 3 gigabytes that is used by the user level address space.
The last 3, you mean?
The first 3, 0 to 3.2. And the last 1 gigabyte is being used by the kernel address
space. No. So, you mean from 3.2 onwards?
3.2
but the stack grows from 3.2.
It goes the reverse way.
No. Wait.
Grows the reverse.
Let me see.
See?
So the stack.
See? Here's
the end of stack. It's true. It goes the reverse way. Yeah.
See? It's going. I think it's growing this way.
So 9.4 is bigger.
Yeah, but I think it starts from here. Starts from here and going into
yeah. So this is also stack. That's what you mean.
This one.
That one's yeah.
No, this is the only one with the stack, I think. But yeah, maybe this is stack too.
Or that could be heap also. No,
yeah.
But I mean there is a big difference between this and this, right?
Which.
Between this line and this line, yeah, because that's BS and the other is B7.
Yeah.
So it's.
And that's a big difference, that's true.
That's a lot for a stack.
True, it's a lot for a stack, yeah. It's interesting that, how much is this? Let's see. Okay, so the size of the stack is really small from here to here. This is the active stack.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the stack is only the last guy.
Okay.
I don't really know what these are. Could be heap.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, because the heap is also randomized.
It's
randomized, where you start.
Oh, where you start, that's true, I think. Okay, so I guess two things, right? One is the beginning of the main, and the other is the static linking of the library. You could also check the while loop and see
And that's the first thing I'm going to do, check the while loop. If that doesn't work, then I'll see the dynamic linking.
You check the, check the dynamic linking too. That might.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is just a simple exercise, but it's also, I think, very powerful, right, if you can get it to work.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we can certainly utilize this in our papers. I think that's something we need to start talking about as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the paper itself and that we are sending to use next annual technical conference. We need to finish by mid-December, December 15th, I think.
Yeah.
After which it will be very hard to make any progress.
That's true.
Yeah. So we should start thinking from the paper standpoint and
mm-hmm.
and how do we bring in this aspect into the paper as well. And so far we've been talking about data restored and now we are talking about execution restored.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can start by saying that, talking about data restore, and then saying, okay, execution restore is also something that is important for certain applications. Restoring of the stack, and then I think.
Or we can start the other way, because this is a lot easier than data restore, than heap.
Hmm.
Right.
That's true. I think we need to motivate the need for restoring the only some parts of the heap,
exactly,
right, as opposed to the entire heap. And I think that's going to be the real challenge for Unix.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Unix guys might say, well, why don't you restore everything?
Yeah, don't go to all the trouble.
And so that means that we have to come up with the right motivation. We have some paper which says that the data to be saved is only a small portion of the address space. And
mm-hmm.
so we can refer to that paper, but we probably need more motivation. Maybe just beyond the scientific computing applications and beyond that one. I mean, are there other reasons to save part of the heap rather than all the heap? Outline.
Okay.
Maybe next week when we meet.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we're gonna meet Tuesday, right?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday.
See.
And in the meanwhile, you can try to resolve some of these problems.
So the other thing is that after we have this version, so one of the ideas that we mentioned was to have two different types of containers, one execution container and one data container. Right? So then the issues would be, how do you link an execution container to a data container?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be the next question to ask.
Yeah, that's true.
But, so from my point of view, creating an execution container is a lot easier than creating a data container.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
If we get this figured out.
Mm-hmm. So what we can do is associate an execution container to that container.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can say, okay, it's optional for you to load the execution container also.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, this data container comes with this execution container. But you can, if you want to load only the data, you can load only the data.
Mm-hmm. Okay, rather than the other way around. To say, okay, load execution container with an optional data container.
Exactly. Yeah, because the thing is that
That's
the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense for you to only want the data and not the execution content. Let's say, I don't know, you have a different process that you want to use it with,
mm-hmm.
right? Or a different program, and that way that the execution will not work.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll still have the data.
Yeah.
Which is something that you cannot do with normal checkpointing. Actually, that's a very big advantage, I think. If you're doing regular checkpointing and you somehow modify your code, then the older checkpoint will not work.
If you modify the code.
Yeah. Because the return addresses are linked to return addresses within the stack, but reference the code. And those addresses are not valid. Well, they could be or not,
mm-hmm.
right? So you could have broken links in that sense.
But if you restore the stack, we have the same problem, right?
We restore the stack, we have the same problem, but we still have the data
mm-hmm.
in that sense. So you can, I mean, you will not lose your data.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, yeah. I think that's something we need to bring up in the write-up. I think that's a very important point.
Let me write that down. Oh, well, you're recording, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna see how we can add this to the current design that we have.
Yeah.
But I think it's not gonna be hard. I mean, this is fairly well. If we get it to work.
Yeah.
It should be fairly.
We should be able to do it. Okay. So.